Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. This is where we celebrate the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination in our lives. We have a delightful guest today. She is a dream teacher. She studied with me. Her name is Cheryl Grant. She's talking to us from Ottawa. I don't know whether Cheryl reads Charles Dillon, but one of the reasons that I have warm feelings when I think about Ottawa, apart from having enjoyed a visit there long ago, we have this wonderful urban fantasy writer who turned Ottawa in his early novels into a place of real magic where you're likely to meet old world beings, fairies and others, and new world spirits of the land, and it's all alive. Anyway, Cheryl guides dream circles, workshops, courses that help people cultivate a living relationship with their dreams. She is one of those, in fact, who is dedicated to rebirthing a dreaming society in our world, in our time. It is time. Through dream work, journaling, creative exploration, Cheryl invites people to rediscover the language of the dreaming psyche. Her work is devoted to helping restore the ancient human practice of navigating by our dreams and sharing them. All of this is so good, Cheryl, because you and I both know that it can be tremendously socially rewarding and tremendously practical to share and act upon dreams. And you and I know that there are processes that make this easy, that create a safe space to share dreams and harvest some guidance and put it into action. So my main invitation, incitement to you today is, let's talk about what it is to walk this path of a dream teacher, which you have chosen. What are your experiences along the way? What do you find as you help people understand the dreaming might be more than they understood?
Absolutely. And can I say I adore Charles Dillon? Absolutely love his work.
I thought you might. Yes. Yeah. I was introduced to him by one of my publishers, Moonheart, one of the early ones where Ottawa is named before we get to Newford. And I delayed reading it for some years. Then I read it, and of course I did what I always do. Then I had to read everything. But it keeps churning them out year after year. So there came a point where I had to say, well, that's enough for now, Joel. I might look at you later. But he is he really embodies and dramatizes, you know, the power of dreaming. I mean, very well. In fact, some of his books have dreams in the title, and they're very much about what we can do when we step it in and out of the dream world. So there we are. Another common factor, Ottawa, Charles Dillon, urban fantasy. So here you are, you're a dream teacher. You even have a piece of paper that says that Robert loves you as a dream teacher. How do you ought to be walking this road, and what are you learning along the way?
Oh, my goodness. Well, synchronicity brought me to this road. I think I was always the type of dreamer that had their head in the clouds versus these, you know, wonderful night dreams that came through and gave guidance. So my path unfolded a little bit differently, which I'm pleased to say, because I think a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel like they're not in touch with their dreams, so they can't relate to the volume of wisdom that comes through and the guidance that comes through. So I actually was writing my own fantasy novel and noticing themes of dreaming coming up more and more, and then found myself driving on the road behind a car with the license plate Dream Fleet. And I was instantly captivated. Instantly. And, of course, I went home and Googled it, and it's a luxury suite of car rentals. But that didn't stop me. I kept Googling dream teachers and dream shamanism, and that, of course, led me to you. And when I read what you stood for, what you taught, what your courses had to offer, I was absolutely hooked. So then I took your online course, Dreaming Beyond the Veil, and my dream gates exploded. They just, between the teachings, the daily guided visualizations, the community of dreamers, and the Lightning Dreamwork process that you teach, I really noticed just a high volume of dream traffic coming through. And that, of course, got me more curious and got me to pay attention to more things, allowed me to take action. I started weaving dream work into my counseling practice. So by day, I'm a therapist. And in traditional mainstream therapy, you don't really bring up the transpersonal or even dreams. Sometimes someone comes to you and says, I had a bad dream, or, you know, and you get to work on it then. But I more consciously decided to bring it in and noticed a big difference in the kind of work we were able to do and the kinds of connections people have been making, revelations, being able to see things differently, being able to go back into a nightmare. So this is happening while I'm taking more of your courses and while I'm developing my own sort of desire and passion to open this up to more people like you do, so that people can access their deeper wisdom, access their guidance, access their loved ones on the other side, access information they otherwise wouldn't access with their conscious filters.
Fantastic. All right, yeah. Let me throw at you a few of the questions that newbies often ask and tell us how you respond to them. And you've no doubt been fielding these questions in your practice anyway. I mean, the number one question is, how do I remember my dreams? I mean, I might be interested in what you're saying, but I don't have a working connection with dreams. I don't know where they are, but I haven't remembered dreams for years. How do you talk to someone like that?
Absolutely, and I get that quite a bit. And I say that is completely normal, and a lot of people have that same experience, and a lot of people think they're not dreaming. And the most important thing that you can do is assume you are dreaming. You are dreaming every night. You are having multiple dreams a night. It's more about the recall. And I encourage them to have maybe a notepad and paper by their bed or even their phone if they want to type into their notes. And when they're waking up, to at the very least, just grab three bullet points. Just a couple of, like, a word, a feeling, a color, a person, whatever it is they're remembering from the dream or as they're waking up in that hypnopompic state. And so I find this a little bit easier of a baby step for people. And then they end up reporting that they try those things and they'll get bigger chunks of recall as they go. That's my first thing.
Practical. That works. Let me just throw a couple of thoughts at you, which you thought about and no doubt acting upon already. One of them is, okay, if you're still not remembering anything, but you've agreed perhaps to write something down every morning, whether it's a dream or not, you're feeling stuck keeping a journal. If you're doing that, well, why don't you do this? Walk out into the world, with or without intention in your mind, and receive the first unusual thing that pops up as something like a dream, a pop-up symbol, something from the world around you. I mean, you already talked to us about how the novelty plate on the car in front of you gave you a message. So I'm sure you do that with people. You help them to understand that they can dream with their eyes open, and sometimes, but they're not getting much with their eyes closed, that will begin to open things.
Absolutely. And I love that. I love tying those pieces together. I also ask people to just tap into a daydream or remember a daydream.
Oh.
So, yeah, where do you go when you daydream is what I like to ask people.
That's
and
good.
As they're bringing pieces of that back, then they're sort of accessing that information, and I'm telling them that's just as important as a night dream.
I think people are feeling your wonderful energy and enthusiasm for all of this. So it's infectious, Cheryl, your energy and enthusiasm. That's part of what works. It's part of what spreads the ripples out and widens the pool. Here's another question for you, still relating to the memory or the absence of memory of dreams. Have you ever asked someone to go back in their mind and pull up the last dream they remember if they've been in a dream drought for a long time, maybe for years? Have you ever tried that?
Yes, and that has been very successful. And usually it's a childhood dream. Sometimes it's a scary dream.
Yes.
And we can even play with that in terms of a dream reentry.
Yes. Good. Well, now you're talking. I mean, I don't hit newbies with this as an interpretative statement about the state condition of their life or anything, not early on. But, you know, the indigenous understanding is if you've lost your dreams, it's because you've lost a part of your vital soul, your vital self that is the dreamer. It checked out because life was bad, so you've suffered soul loss. Well, actually, people do. They understand viscerally what that means, but you don't actually want to hit them with it in a scary way early on. But I have found repeatedly, if I can get someone who's been in a dream drought for a long time, and sometimes decades, sometimes most of a lifetime, to go back to that childhood dream or even that childhood memory, then, as you just suggested, we might actually be able to take them back into that scene as the adult who made it through as a survivor and do something that might be tantamount to recovering soul, recovering vital energy, and certainly to connecting with that young self who was the dreamer. And when you do that, often you find the dreams are coming back to the adult. So this is deep, deep, deep shamanic practice, but it's on the everyday colloquial level. I mean, there's no mumbo-jumbo, no complicated ritual. There's nothing particularly strange about it, except that it is strange to people in our culture to understand that our consciousness is mobile like this, so we can travel in dreaming or in reverie across time and place and do things.
Absolutely, and I've noticed it in therapy sessions as well as in dream share circles. Some big work can happen, some big, deep connections, a shift in how you see your shadow or the scary clown that shows up evolves, and they're able to engage now with whatever they're struggling with, or parts of themselves are remembered. It's huge work.
Yes. All right, here's another basic question that newbies are asking you, and I will ask anyone who seems to know something about dreams. Okay, all this dream stuff is great, but what I remember are scary dreams, and sometimes they're so scary I have to run away from them, and I've actually said I don't want any dreams because it's so dark and I don't want to look at it. What do you say to people who are fleeing their dreams, leaving them as nightmares?
First, empathize with how that must feel, because I've had scary dreams and some that I haven't wanted to re-enter. I like to share that what I've noticed is that with scary dreams and dreams that kind of won't leave alone, there's a message in there, and that dreams are happening for you and not against you. So I invite them to look at it at least a little bit from a different perspective. So be a bit more of an observer around how, is there anything with this dream that could actually be helpful, even though it's scary? And obviously we talk a little bit about different ways to approach it. Is there a guide or a loved one on the other side or an angel or somebody that could lend you some strength as you even think about opening the door to these dreams, as something you can embody to bring with you in the dream? Or even to share the dream. Yep.
Yeah, so you're in the game of introducing people to guides and allies and helpers in the dream space, who, of course, will also prove to be guides and helpers in life, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you help people set intentions for the dreams? Do you help them practice dream incubation on a colloquial level?
Yes. So sometimes what happens is people don't know what to do with their dreams or not sure if there's stuff they can ask for. So I talked to them a little bit about doing some work around what they would want to know. Maybe they could have a bit of a ritual, have a cup of tea, write down something on a little slip of paper, saying it out loud, putting it under their pillow with the intent to dream. And see whatever happens, whatever unfolds from their dreaming or whatever unfolds in the next day or the day after in their waking world, just to see whatever information has come through that could be connected to that or otherwise.
That's good stuff. All right, let's play a game. We have this wonderful process for sharing dreams, which has actually worked for many kinds of personal stories. We call it the lightning dream work. It's meant to be fast like lightning and harness energy. I'm going to cast you as my guide, my guide, Cheryl. I'm going to tell a workaday dream from a couple of nights ago, actually the night before last. Is that all right with you? And you're going to guide me through the steps of the Lightning Dreamwork game. You up for that?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. As I say, it's a workaday dream. And you'll recognize what kind of work it is when we get into it. So I'll call it, because we start by giving a dream a title, and I'll let people know that. I'll call it Time for Time Management.
Time for Time Management?
Time for Time Management. Very boring title. Time for Time Management. So I'm leading a workshop. I'm leading a dream workshop. It's an in-person workshop. And a couple of our teachers, I don't think you've been in the same classes as these people. Their names may or may not come up. I won't mention them yet. We don't necessarily need them. But I've set a couple of them up to demonstrate the Lightning Dreamwork process we're now talking about. And the man who's guiding the process, who's brilliant, is hearing the report from the woman, who's also brilliant. And now he's heard the story, and now he starts the questions, which are part of the process. The first question is about feelings. And instead of saying how she feels about her dream, she goes on and on thinking about this and that, these associations, and it's all quite interesting, but it's going on and on and on. And she doesn't mention her feelings. And I get so fed up as the teacher of the teachers. I have to intercede and say, get her to name her feelings. I mean, look, we haven't, don't spend all day because we're running out of time. So I have to intercede to get this straight. So that's panel one of the dream. There's a bit more around that. We're running out of time, and I have to intervene. And I'm slightly annoyed that they didn't pay attention to the time. But part two is, now I'm looking forward to having lunch. I'm in a town where I've been before in dreams. I don't know what the town is in ordinary life. It's a mid-sized city or a large-sized town. And I want a Mexican lunch, and I want to ask a local where the best Mexican food is, and I can picture the streets. And I've actually taken a bit of a look around the town. I found a street full of restaurants with the very grand entrance of a very, very grand place where I've been before, but I don't think they're open to lunch. I'm putting this in because it's part of the same dream, because it also brings in an interesting feature of dreams, which is sometimes we seem to go repeatedly to the same place, which doesn't have an analog in ordinary life. I mean, it might turn up in the future, it might not. So there's also the element of being in a town that I know from other dreams, but not that well, where there's a restaurant that I know from other dreams where strange things happen. So those are the two panels of the dream.
Neat. Okay. And so when you had these two sets of dreams, the two panels of the dreams, what were you feeling upon waking?
Exhausted, actually. I've been working really hard to sort out this workshop and get it together, and having to cope with my own irritation at two people who are brilliant and have learnt my processes not doing what they've been taught to do. So, and being delayed in getting to my Mexican lunch. So I was having very realistic feelings, the feelings of slight irritation, slight fatigue, and the desire to get the lunch that I would have if it were an absolutely factual, real situation. Those were my feelings. I didn't feel there was anything symbolic about the dream. It felt like a just-so situation.
Right. And now, with respect to either of the scenarios, you've already pointed out that you've in dreams, been in the restaurant in the city before. You've obviously taught workshops before. But if we were to check to see how this syncs up with your lived experience, what's happening in your waking world, is there anything that stands out to you that has happened in the past, is moving through your life right now, or could potentially happen in the future?
Well, this business of time management is essential. I mean, I'm about to launch a new online series. I don't teach in person hardly at all anymore, so that element is unlikely to play out in ordinary life. But on the other hand, I teach in my dreams almost every night of the week, and I do give all these online classes, like 60 a year or more. I'm about to start a new series. This business of running out of time and people having a hard time naming their feelings and homing in on that question, that is very plausible. I mean, that could happen any time. It's unlikely that the people who will be in this the Roger and Alex characters will be themselves in this situation. But they could be stand-ins for other people who'll have the same difficulty managing time and getting to the point of announcing feelings. So that part feels very realistic, and it could even be a rehearsal of things that are going to come up in coming classes. It also feels
right.
like an experience that is just so in a separate reality, which, of course, we know is another thing that goes on in dreams. You have experiences in another reality, and that's where they happen, and they're real, but they don't necessarily come back into ordinary reality.
Right, right. And is there any part of that, and I know you mentioned the it's not symbolic, but I'm curious if there's any time, any place in terms of your relationship with time that could be reflected in this dream?
Well, I perhaps said too hastily, it's not symbolic. Everything is symbolic in a certain sense, isn't it? But I was stressing the very literalistic, realistic quality of the dream.
Right.
Well, I mean, time, it's very hard for me to keep track of time, I mean, except when I'm leading classes. But I'm very conscious of it. Otherwise, I'm vague about what day it is, whether it's day or night, etc. So is there a message for me to look at my own management of time? Maybe. I have things to get done, then I keep letting deadlines slip, except for my classes. I'm very good about my classes. Certainly,
yes.
There are questions about time and the nature of time that arise. You know,
yes.
I think we're going to have to postpone the rest of our process till after the break. I was hoping to squeeze it in. Here's already a case of time management, Cheryl.
Yeah,
because
I have similar dreams.
Because I spoke too long or started this too late, we're out of time to finish it before we take the break. But I think people will bear with us if we come back and finish it after the short break. We're talking to the wonderful Cheryl Grant, dream teacher, therapist, dream activist. We'll be back after the break. This is Robert Noss. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Noss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Noss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
This is Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. I'm laughing, and so is my guest, Cheryl Grant, because I told a dream there was a problem with time management, and then I managed time so badly we didn't finish the process before the break. We're going to finish it now. Cheryl's asking me some questions. We're demonstrating a 4-step process. Let me just explain this to those of you who are new to this or haven't sort of got the hang of it yet. The Lightning Dreamwork is a 4-step game. Step one is to get the dreamer to tell a story and give it a title in a simple, coherent way. Step two is for the guide to ask 3 basic questions, feelings, reality check, what do you recognize from this the rest of your life, and could it play out in the future? And then the question, what do you want to know, or where do you want to go with this? Then the guide gets to say, if it were my dream, and the etiquette is important. if we can only learn to say to each other in commenting on dreams and experiences, if it were my dream or if it were my life, we make it much easier for us to be heard. We avoid any temptation to lay down the law to someone else, which we really should not do, on what a dream means or what a life experience means. And then we want an action plan. We want some way of harvesting, healing, creative energy, guidance from the dream, and applying it in life. All right, Cheryl, over to you.
Okay, so we've done panel one of your dreams, and we've talked about the reality check, and we've seen something play out. Do we want to move into the panel two before we move into any action plan?
You're in charge. You go wherever your instincts lead you.
Let's look at panel two, because I like to see connections. So I know you mentioned in your dreams that you've been to the city before, you've been to the Mexican restaurant before where interesting things have happened. If we're looking at how this is syncing up with your life right now, you've had the dreams in the past. Is there anything about that panel that relates to what's moving through your life right now or could potentially happen in the future?
Well, I'm very interested in dream locations, particularly when we go there repeatedly, whether we recognize the location or not. This is one of a number of small cities or large towns. Often they look like places maybe in Canada or maybe in the American Midwest, that kind of location. And I go there repeatedly, but they do not correspond exactly to anywhere in ordinary life or anywhere I am likely to go, but they have their own solidity and stability in my dreams. They're mysterious to me. I mean, sometimes the cities are not that interesting for an external observer, except there are always some curious alleyways and side streets, and occasionally a little thing that is an anomaly that you don't expect. I'm looking in another dream of this kind, a certain address, and someone says, look for the banana. I look, and it's an enormous dummy banana, like those balloon men you get at used car dealers, in front of a door, in front of a rather pompous bank-type door, old style. And there's nothing like that in this dream, except there is a grand entrance, the overly pompous grand entrance, not to a Mexican restaurant, but to some grand restaurant where I was in the past. I haven't been to a Mexican place in this town yet. I don't know where the Mexican place is. I need direction.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay. And what does a grand entrance represent to you?
Well, I'll have to look up my older report, but it's most unusual. There are stairs going up and then stairs going down. And I want to say that there are lions or animals, you know, on either side of the steps. But the materials are sort of fabulous. I mean, unusual wood with unusual angles and so on. It's all rather grand. It looks like some kind of fantasy Eastern palace, actually, the entrance to the restaurant. And I see it again, and I'm surprised. I remember it. And I remember that also strange things happened in some restaurant. What was before? But I'll have to look up the old report. I'm just noting that for me as a dream worker and a storyteller, locales like this become quite fascinating, and if I put my mind and imagination into them, connections grow. So probably part of my forward plan is going to be to look at these theories of dreams of towns like this.
That sounds wonderful. And is there anything else that you're curious about with either panel?
I don't know that I've got anything else to say right now. It was a night of very big dream activity. There was a huge dream earlier on, not connected in any way that I would note with this dream. But this dream is a workaday dream, and it's typical of many of my dreams, actually, which is why it seemed an appropriate one to choose.
And are you comfortable with if I were to share if it were my dream?
Yes, please.
These were my dream panels? Okay. If this were my dream, I can certainly relate to the pressure for time, the pressure to get something out the right way so we can make things happen, not feeling like things are going according to plan. So I would feel like, for me, that would be a call for me to, for me personally, to slow down, check my expectations, check to see if I can organize any better. I might look at that as something that could play out in a dream workshop and to remind myself to see if I can facilitate that a little more smoothly, or how would I be able to do that without getting frustrated. And I'd probably look at my own sort of relationship with time. And for the second panel, I absolutely love this, and I would see it as fantastical. I would see it as an invitation to visit the grand entrance more often. And maybe there's something about my relationship with time when I'm there that can soften. But it for me, as I want to be a writer and write fantasy novels, this could be an invitation for me to go in and experience the fantastical, the strange, inspiration for my novels, and be nurtured by the food of dreams.
That's very good, Cheryl. That's very good. You got me excited about revisiting that grand entrance. I did not expect to see that restaurant on this street, even though the town seems familiar. I was surprised to find that it is there. And now I'll have to go back to the old report and actually see whether I can travel back inside the dream by method that you and I know well, which we call dream reentry, which is basically a sort of shamanic kind of lucid dreaming for those who don't know what I'm talking about, by which, with or without drumming, we might just do it with our intent and imagination. That's how I normally do it at home. But we make it our intention to go right back inside a dream to explore further and sometimes to add chapters to a story.
Yes, and pick up even more information than in the first place, which is amazing. Would you be interested in coining a one-liner motto for either or both panels?
Always check the time.
Okay.
I like to go around saying the time is always now, but I'm being pushed to remember that there's also ticked-up time. It has to be respected if you're trying to run a group or get things done by some kind of due date. And in recent times, I've been pushing away deadlines for my own work, not from the workshops I do with other people. I'm not very good about that. But I noticed that I am off schedule. Deliberately off schedule. I just stopped worrying about it. But I think I have to take close attention. So I've checked the time as my bumper sticker. And the action plan is twofold. First of all, I'll apply the knowledge that I have to watch processes slipping out of, control and leading new classes. And secondly, that I want to do, this should be fun. I want to go back inside the dream, go through that grand entrance, and see what happens in that restaurant this time. So thank you very much. So we just demonstrated, we're about to take another break, and maybe Cheryl will share a dream with me. Would you like to do that? Would you share a dream with me and let me play guide?
Would love it.
Great. All right. So our wonderful guest is Cheryl Grant. She's a dream teacher. She's a therapist. She is in Ottawa, a city that I actually happen to like a lot. And we'll be back to do more with dreams after the break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knott.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com. Get your personal dream symbols and discover the ones you dream about in Linda McKenzie's Symbols of You, a new book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and more.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
We are having a lovely time with Cheryl Grant, dream teacher, certified teacher of the Robert Moss School of Active Dreaming. How about that? If you're interested in going further, go to my website, mossdreams.com. We will be launching a new cycle of the Dream Teacher Training Level 1 in January. Cheryl said that she is willing to share a dream report with me and let me try to play Dream Guide. So, Cheryl, would you like to do that?
Absolutely. And this is a little one. It's more like, a fragment of larger dreams that I wasn't able to pull back. I call it Cats versus Lions. So I'm walking through a post-apocalyptic town, if you will. It's everyone has left their residences, so it's like a ghost town, but it recent enough that everything's not falling apart. So I'm walking through, and it's daytime, and I'm going through different houses, and I come upon a house where there are two little girls, and I think, oh my goodness, I need to help these little girls. But as I look around, I notice they're making their own armor. They're getting ready to go out and forage for food. They obviously don't need my help. So I look out a window, and again, this is like a ghost town, and I'm seeing outside on the property in the backyard, it backs onto a graveyard. So there's a bit of a boundary, landscape boundary, between city and graveyard. And on my side, on the city side in the backyard, are a number of cats. I'll say 12, just to give you a sense of the number. And they're looking outward towards the graveyard. And facing them are a number of lions in the graveyard looking back at them. So they're both very still and staring at each other. So it's like a standoff. And the dream ends there.
Oh, very interesting. Cats versus
right?
lions. So
yes.
You're coming out of this dream. What are your first feelings?
I felt a bit of a fascination, a bit of awe at seeing this cats versus lions. There was a stillness to it and a bit of a magic to it. A little bit of a callback to graveyard dreams that I have had throughout my life. And I love animals, so I'm always interested when animals show up in my dreams. So I was very curious and a little bit in awe of what I was seeing and a little bit, maybe a little bit, spooked out a little bit.
Okay, so reality check, what is familiar to you in this dream, either in your ordinary life or in the life of your imagination? Let's start with the devastated city and the graveyard and the children. Is anything in that familiar to you?
Yeah, and I was trying to think about that at the time. I mean, it reminds me of some of the zombie series on Netflix, but there were no zombies
uh-huh.
around. I did grow up next to a graveyard, so there's a little bit in a city next to a graveyard, so there's a little bit there. I did find it interesting. I don't think I've been anywhere where there's been nobody in any residences, nor have I come across any unattended young girls getting armor ready. So there's nothing that I can see. I've had other dreams of cats and wild cats in backyards, other dreams of graveyards, and other dreams of younger selves.
So what's your relationship with cats?
I love cats. Cats have always
okay.
been an important part of my life.
Do cats live with you? Do cats actually live with you?
I do have cats that live with me. These weren't the cats in the dream, but I do have cats. I've always had cats. And I have lots of cat dreams.
Okay, before we get to lions in general, are you familiar with lions in graveyards? I mean, as carved figures?
I am not. Like, now that you're bringing it up, I think that there are, obviously on graves, that they can be depicted on graves, but I'm not as familiar with what you're referring to.
I'll save it for the if it were my dream part. But lions as lions, and what do lions mean to you? Do you have any associations or connections with lions?
Strength and courage and, there's a beauty there,
okay.
but I think there's courage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you want to know or where do you want to go with this?
I would love to know what was happening. What is the cats versus lions message for me? Why were they facing off each other?
All right.
What would I need to pull from that?
if we move straight, because I'm now concerned about time management, Cheryl. If we move straight to the if it were my dream, I see the cats versus the lions somewhat differently. I think the cats are observing and perhaps even helping to incite the resurrection, the rebirth of the lions. The lions, for me, represent ancient and great powers. You see lions on public monuments to the dead and public monuments of other kinds. You see them everywhere. In Canada, you probably see them more commonly than you do in the United States, actually, because of the British association with the lion. So for me, the lions are greater power. They say that all cats belong to the tribe of tiger. Well, if that's true, then all cats might belong to the tribe of lion. For me, the cats are attending to, observing, even perhaps helping to facilitate the rebirth, the reemergence of ancient power, which perhaps will help to correct what has devastated the land and reduce things to this kind of haunted, desolate condition. But, you know, as you can see, I'm not only a cat lover, I'm a lion lover big time. I've been a lion shamanically since my early boyhood. So it's hard for me to see the lions as adversaries, though of course they would be formidable adversaries. And I'm actually reminded, making a reckless but necessary association for me with my own dreams, I'm reminded of a dream of mine, which, like all the cats, wild and domestic, are all gathered, and floating above them all is the magical, mysterious, slightly dark-sided black cat, Victoria, who shared my life for 20 years, as if she, the so-called domestic cat, but nothing very domestic about her, is ruling it all, you know. I'm reluctant to see a conflict between the domestic cats and the lions. I mean, what I'm very willing to indulge is the idea that I am present to, if only as an observer, the rising, the rebirth of greater powers. And I'm going to remember that if I want to claim my connection with the lion side of the cat family, as you are doing, Cheryl, as you are doing, if I am you, well, then the power is in my voice, because when the lion speaks, everybody listens. So I'm going to harvest, I mean, this is reckless and projection on my part, but I'm going to harvest from this the idea that wherever things are down and difficult, I can, using my voice the right way and showing the courage in the heart that is the quality of the lion, I can contribute to the situation. And that's a bold intervention in addition to the details of the dream. But that's where I want to go. So what do you want to do with this now? One of the things, of course, that you could do that I might do if it were my dream is I might go back inside it. I might connect with the children. I might connect with the cats. I might start with the cats as a cat person who keeps cats and ask cats to tell me what's going on. And then, if I can, I'd like to get to know the lions.
I love that. I love it. And maybe even weave it into a blog. Because releasing the lion would be my motto, right? Release the lion.
Yes.
Because using my voice to talk about dream work, I think fits in what you're saying, and what you're saying tracks, because they weren't actually fighting. They weren't, it was me projecting that tension. So,
well,
I think I would
know,
have
we
loved
can always
to.
Do, we can always do the what part of me game, which is actually Jung's game. I mean, say what part of me popularized. But Jung did that all the time, looking at everything as part of the psyche of the dreamer. If I do that, that becomes interesting too. But we don't have time to do that right now. What's your bumper sticker? What is a takeaway phrase from the dream and the dream work?
I think it's release the lions.
Release the lion. Excellent. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take another break. Then we'll be back with Cheryl Grant. And perhaps you want to tell people how they can contact you, because people might want to use you as a teacher, guide, and coach after this. You're listening to The Way of the Dreamer with Robert Noss.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
So here you are, Way of the Dream with Robert Moss, our wonderful guest, dream teacher, therapist, counselor, dream coach, Cheryl Grant. Cheryl, if people are looking for you, how can they find you?
Well, one of two ways. I have a website at www.cheryl-grant.ca. So that would be Cheryl-Grant. So there's that. And then on Instagram, my handle is Engaging the Dream.
Ah, very nice. Okay, well, we'll get that up on my website in due course. So we'll have it there. Yeah, you know, we're talking about lions and cats and so on. I want to tell a couple of my own dreams. I'll tell one first about cats, and then I'll tell one about big cats. So we had a wonderful elderly calico cat named Patch that we adopted. She was 9 years old. When we adopted her, she'd been terribly abused, and she'd been in the shelter for a long time because she was 9, absolutely beautiful, but people didn't want to adopt an elderly cat. And we took her home, and she hid under a sofa for 2 years.
Oh, God,
she came out, yeah. And then she lived on the left arm of my reading chair with me. She was with me all the time. When I was in the reading chair, she was with me, and I had a vision of her before she passed, which I saw a giant version of her, which I called the Calico Tiger, ready to receive and welcome her to the other side. I actually drew a picture of it. Then I dreamed of her repeatedly when she was on the other side. One of the dreams, she said, I want to take you to Cap City. I said, okay. I was very interested. Cap City, guided by my Calico Cat. And she said, but you have to be careful, because there are bad cats as well as good cats. There are bad neighborhoods as well as good neighborhoods in Cat City. I just loved this so much. Now, here's that. Here's a lion.
I want to go visit.
Yes, I think I'll have to go back now if Patch is willing to meet me again. It has to be written up, actually. I did a picture of that, too, but I need to do more. Well, here's a lion. Here's a lion story. So I'm at a zoo on a Sunday. It could be a zoo anywhere. It actually reminds me of a zoo south of Montreal in Canada. It reminds me very much of a zoo south of Montreal. You know, it's a Sunday, and their family's out and about, and they're having snacks and so on. And some of them are gathered outside the lion enclosure, and they're mocking the lion. They're just mocking the lion. There's a lion behind the bars, and they're dropping snacks and so on. Then suddenly someone notices that the gate is open and the lion could get them, and people start screaming and dropping things and running away. And in the dream, I just step through the open gate and the lion runs at me, the maned lion, leaps up, paws on my shoulders. I smell his hot, meaty breath, and he licks the side of my face like a dog. I can freaking talk. And a couple of things happen. He wants me to turn around and look at the scene from his point of view. And I notice from his point of view, the humans are living in cages. I see glimpses of their houses, their apartments, their residences. They might look pretty good from a human perspective, but from the lion's point of view, they're all living in cages and boxes. They put themselves in boxes, and he wants me to look behind him. And instead of the zoo, I don't know where we are now, I see a wilderness based on wild freedom, and the lion speaks to me, And he's like a talking animal at this point. In a gravelly voice, he says, "You see, my dear, humans are the only animals that choose to live in cages." I thought, wow. The point of view
wow.
of man is one worth considering. So, you know, that's one of the many reasons why I have a soft spot for lions. It's very hard for me to see the lion as a threat or an adversary, although, of course, a lion in the wild could be a formidable threat to a mere human.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've actually, in shamanic work, been quite successful, I think, in lending or gifting lion energy to people who need to do certain things, like find courage for a project, or like find their voice, or like in the case of one family, bring the power of the lion, the voice, to an autistic child, who once he received the gift of the lion, started being able to communicate and socialize in a way that had not been possible before. And that might be relevant to your work, too, as you go along. So to regard what seemed to be a threat in a devastated landscape as a potential ally in the restoration of things might be a great forward movement, mightn't it?
It seems very relevant to our times. It seems pretty very symbolic of what dreaming could bring to our collective.
I'm not going to go Jungian on you because I'm not a Jungian, though I'm a great friend and lover of Jung, but I have been doing a great deal of reading and rereading of Jung recently for something that I'm writing. And, of course, we have all this endless Jung material that keeps coming out, you know, seminar notes that weren't published until now, the interviews with Agnella Yaffe that didn't make it into Memories, Dreams, Reflections, which is fascinating stuff. We have more material than is in Memories, Dreams, Reflections that's just been published. In two books, one in 23 and one this year. So there's all this Jung stuff coming out, but it's some of the old stuff sometimes, including the stuff in the collected works, which are quite formidable as a reading assignment quite often. But there's something I found Jung saying repeatedly as a doctor who has his authority. He's got his MD as well as professorship and all of that. It's very hard for him to talk to people about dreams the way that you and I do, whether we've got any credentials or not. You know,
right.
We encourage people to talk from their heart, from their own truth, and not lay things on people. But he says, I'm paraphrasing now, he says repeatedly in a couple of his essays on dreams in the collected works, he says, in the presence of a dream, it might be necessary to give up all theories and be prepared, if theory is needed, to invent a new one to suit this dream. And I just love that. And here is the great Jung, who's come up with his own theories and worked with the theories of lots of other people, including Freud. And he's saying, in the presence of the singularity, the uniqueness of a dream, the freshness of its content, I'm paraphrasing, but it's a close statement of what he says, you might just the doctor might just have to abandon all of their theories and be prepared, if necessary, to see the birth of a new theory to suit this one dream. I mean, that is like us, except we don't need a theory even then, because we understand that we can do some good for each other in the presence of a dream or story by just contributing from our own lives whatever comes to us. And if at the end of the day we want to borrow from a dream theory, for example, ask what part of me is the lion, is the cat, is the child putting on armor, is the devastated landscape, that might work too. It won't work completely because dreams are transpersonal as well as personal, as Jung well understood, but we can try that. So
Absolutely. This
is the beauty of our process, including if it were my dream protocol, which, as you know and as you demonstrate, enables us to hear multiple points of view. It's just you and I batting back and forth, but you and I have been in situations. We've got a lot of dreamers, sometimes a lot of dream teachers in a circle or around a table, and they're throwing at each other whatever comes to them. I sat at a breakfast table at Mosswood Hollow over the years. We've had 20 people at that long table. I mean, 20 people at the one table. This took a bit of time management, all offering some feedback on one dream, and the dreamer gets 20 points of view, and none of them are exactly the same, and some are a million miles from what the dreamer thinks is going on. But it's all helpful, if only, you know, to guide you in the right direction by indirection. If someone says something that leaves you completely cold, that helps you to get warmer in terms of your approach to what is actually going on. Well, I can't believe the time has flown by so quickly, Cheryl, but it has. we'll have to take our last break and come back basically just to say thank you and dream on. You've been listening to the wonderful Cheryl Grant, dream teacher, counselor, therapist. She's in Ottawa. You can go and find her at CherylGrant.com. We'll give that again with the punctuation in the last bit, and I'll put it up at our website. You're listening to The Way of the Dream with Robert Noss.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Cheryl Grant has been the most wonderful guest. Of course, she's helped to dissolve time. It just vanished. Cheryl, people are going to want to find you to talk about their dreams and their lives. What's your website again?
My website is www.cheryl-grant.ca.
Okay, there is Cheryl. Go look for her. She is a great dream teacher, dream coach, and you see the energy and juice she brings, helping us understand that we are missing so much. We're missing treasures. We're missing a lot of juice and joy. If we don't do more with our dreams, it will take us on adventure rides to other worlds and also give us gifts we can apply in the world around us. From now until next time, may your best dreams come true and may you remember them.